Amen. Praise the Lord for the special music this morning, and what a blessing it has already been just being in this place. If you have your Bibles with you this morning, if you would, look with me to the book of 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. 2 Corinthians in chapter 12. This is a great Bible story here in 2 Corinthians chapter 12. The great apostle Paul and his thorn in the flesh. His thorn in the flesh. So we're going to be reading that. If you would stand with me, we'll read the Word of God together. As I read, you follow right along with me. Beginning in verse 1, we'll read down to verse 10. Verse 10. The Bible says, "It is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. I knew a man in Christ above 14 years ago, whether in the body, I cannot tell, or whether out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. Such an one caught up to the third heaven. And I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. God knoweth. How that he was caught up into paradise and heard unspeakable words, which is not lawful for a man to utter. Of such a one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool, for I will say the truth. But now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. Unless I should be exalted above measure through the abundance of the revelations, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. And he said unto me, My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong." And let's pray. Our Father and our God, as we bow before you today, we thank you for what we've already received in being in this place. Thank you for your presence and the blessing of music. But now, Father, as we open up the precious, preserved Word of God, and you've directed us to this particular passage for this morning. You knew who was going to be here before they even knew they were coming. I know that you have a message for each one of us, and I pray that we would be receptive to that. I pray that you would use me once again as an instrument in your hand to bring forth your message to your people from your word. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen and amen. You may be seated. This is a great Bible story concerning the Apostle Paul and the thorn in the flesh. But we have to realize that this is God's holy word. And all of the Bible was inspired by God. Each man that wrote in the scriptures was inspired by the Holy Spirit of God to write what God wanted him to write. This was God inspiring Paul to give his testimony of his triumph over weaknesses. Paul's triumph over weaknesses. Can I tell you the first thing here that we have to understand, and I believe this is going to be a help to all of us, that if you receive what God has for us today, it will come into play at some point in our lives, because all have weaknesses. Now, Paul refers to them, first of all, in verse 7, as a thorn in his flesh. He said, there was given to me a thorn in the flesh. If you look on down, of course, that thorn in the flesh, a thorn is something that causes pain. Many believe that this would have affected Paul's appearance. And he did mention that somebody would see him to be more than he was, and so this would have hindered someone just looking at him, thinking that he was something special, if you will. It also would have been something that would have affected his sight. We find in Paul's writings that he had referred to that. But in this particular passage of Scripture, in Paul's testimony, he doesn't tell us exactly what this thorn in the flesh was, other than God allowed Satan to inflict him with this thorn in the flesh. It's something that causes pain. He also, in verse 9, he calls it a weakness. He says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. So he refers to this thorn in the flesh as a weakness, which would be something that is a lack of strength, or I like this definition of that word weakness, is defective quality. Something about his life, something about his person, a defective quality of life. He then says, he refers to it in verse 9 as well. He says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities. So this, he calls it a thorn in the flesh. He also calls it a weakness, and he calls it an infirmity. Infirmities is a physical ailment. A physical ailment. And then in verse 10, a whole realm of what qualifies, if you will, as these weaknesses. He says, therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses. All of these would qualify as something that we might have to deal with. Infirmities, reproaches, a lack of necessities, if you will, of life, persecutions, distresses. All can make us weak and vulnerable to defeat, to keep us from accomplishing what God would have us to accomplish in life. Makes us vulnerable for Satan to attack us. If you don't think you have weaknesses, can I tell you your weakness is pride? Or if you will, just flat out denial. Because we all have them. If you will, because of them, everyone has issues. Some have more issues than others, but everyone has issues. You're dealing with weaknesses. You're dealing with things that causes us to have issues in dealing with life. God would have Paul to present some of his weaknesses. Paul gave an explanation for why he had at least the one infirmity of the flesh. Why do we have weaknesses? We live in the flesh. We live with the sinful nature of man. We're born with a sinful nature. Because of the penalty of sin, there is death. There is infirmities. God does not give us infirmities. God has to allow us to have them. God did not give Paul this thorn in the flesh. God just withdrew his hand of protection, and whenever God withdraws his hand of protection, the devil is always there ready to afflict us. The devil is always there ready to do as much damage and harm, especially to a born-again believer, as God would allow him to do. So Paul gave an explanation for why he had at least this one, this thorn in the flesh. In verse 1, he says, it is not expedient for me, doubtless, to glory. That word expedient would be advantageous. Paul says, there's a lot of things that God has blessed me with, but it's not advantageous for me to glory in my abilities. Paul had many abilities. Paul was very gifted. Paul was blessed. He says, it's not expedient, it's not advantageous for me, doubtless, to glory. But he says, I will come to visions and revelations of the Lord. He said, I'm not going to glory, but I will look to the visions and revelations that God has given me. Paul experienced something that no one else in this life has ever experienced. God allowed Paul to go to the third heaven, which would be the atmosphere. There's the atmosphere of earth would be the first heaven. The atmosphere of space would be a second heaven, the heaven being atmosphere. But then beyond the heavens, beyond the outer space, it's a different dimension. There is an atmosphere of heaven. It's not beyond space, it's a different atmosphere, it's a different dimension. But it would be the third heaven or third atmosphere that we would be aware of. And the Bible says, Paul said that God actually allowed me to experience going to a place of heaven, going to paradise, going to the abode of God. He says it was something to me, whether I was in the body or out of the body, whether my whole body went or just God took my spirit out of my body and took my spirit and allowed me to view things and hear things that took place in heaven. He said, I don't know how it all happened. I can't give you an explanation. I just know that God has given me visions and revelations. God allowed me to have things that, wow, if I'm not careful, will cause me to glory in why God chose me. He says, I knew such a man, whether in the body or out of the body, I cannot tell. Verse 4, how that he was caught up into the paradise and heard unspeakable words. Now think about what that would do for you if you were actually taken up to heaven and allowed to view the reality of its existence. We live by faith today. We know that there is a heaven, but we only know that there is a heaven because of faith. None of us have experienced it. One day, if you're saved, you will experience heaven. And there will be no more need for faith because sight replaces faith. Paul was actually taken up and he was able, given the opportunity, the privilege to view the reality of heaven. He said it's beyond anything that you could have imagined. It was a third heaven. It was beyond anything like this world. It was beyond anything like outer space. This was a third abode. This was a third atmosphere. The atmosphere was something that I can't even describe, but it was paradise. And the things that I heard, he would have heard the created beings that just worship God continually, saying, holy, holy, holy. He would have heard the angels in conversation. He would have heard Moses and Abraham and all the Old Testament saints, where they're all there. He heard things that he said, I could not, and it's unlawful for anyone to speak in this world of the things that I heard in heaven. That's just a wow factor right there. It really is. When you understand what Paul is talking about here, it's a wow factor. He says, I will look to these visions and revelations that God had given to me. I'm not ashamed of them. I am very excited and very blessed to have had been given these things. Paul could have been very much puffed up with pride. He could have even exalted himself on this earth as being some kind of a god. With these kind of visions and with these kind of revelations and being the apostle, with the power that the apostles had during the apostolic age, it only lasted as long as the apostles were alive. He could have exalted himself and people would have come and they could have bowed down to him because of the visions and the revelations and what he could have explained to them and how he could have presented these things. And they would have been wowed at this insight and the wisdom and the understanding of this man. Or he could have been looked to as a small letter G God. Verse 5 and 6. Of such an one will I glory, yet of myself I will not glory. So I'm not going to glory and puff up myself, but I will glory in what God has done for me and given me these revelations. I will glory, but in mine infirmities. For though I would desire to glory, I shall not be a fool. I realize that I am flesh and blood. For I will say the truth, but now I forbear, lest any man should think of me above that which he seeth me to be, or that he heareth of me. And that could have easily have happened. Paul reveals why he had this thorn. Verse 7, unless I should be exalted. You see, all these things that God has given to me and all these visions and revelations has comes with a price. Unless I should be exalted above measure. Through the abundance of the revelations, no one had been given these kind of revelations. No one had been allowed to go into heaven. There was given to me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan. God lifted his hand, allowed the devil to afflict his flesh, somewhat like he did Job. Had to be approved by God. The messenger of Satan to buffet me, lest I should be exalted above measure. Well, after giving a list of other things, infirmities, weaknesses, in verse 10, reproaches, necessities, persecutions, distresses, the reasons that we have weaknesses that God's allowed is for Christ's sake. All of us have weaknesses to some extent. But if God has allowed it, then there is a purpose. And the purpose would be in this New Testament church age, for Christ's sake. It may be a weakness that we were born with, have no control over. Could be genetics. Many people are born with genetic defects passed down through the genes of parents. We have no control over that. But that could be a weakness that you realize that you have. It could be physical. It could be mental. It could be emotional. Some visible. I mean, if it's a physical defect, if it's a physical weakness, if it's a physical infirmity, people will see that, and you have to go through life with whatever that infirmity might be. People seeing that. Most of our weaknesses are not seen, but we know what they are. Everyone has those. Some visible, some secret. Some brought on by Satan that God has allowed. Some brought on by genetics. Others could possibly be brought on by our lifestyle. I have a good preacher friend of mine that was involved in a lot of drugs before he got saved. And he always refers to his mind is being hindered by the effects of the drugs that makes it even harder for him to study and harder for him to be able to preach And this is an infirmity. This is a weakness. This is a thorn in the flesh. This is something that he brought on himself. And yet he's been able to get the victory over it. Amen. And he's pastoring Bill Marshall. Many of you might know Brother Bill Marshall, evangelist, pastoring now in Missouri. Been pastoring now for some time. But he had to overcome this weakness that he brought into his own life through drugs. And that might be a situation that you find yourself in. As we age, we get older, can I tell you, we develop more weaknesses. I've got more weaknesses today than I've ever had before in my life. Trying to continue to prepare for sermons and continue to preach and do the things, it's harder for me today. You think after 40 years of preparing sermons and preaching it would become easier? No, it's not, because I'm weaker today than what I've ever been before in my life. I hate to have to admit that, but it's true. You might not see it, but I experience it. And you are the same way. We all have weaknesses brought on by different things. Some we could have controlled, others we could not have controlled. But God knows exactly what our weaknesses are. And God can work through those. God is aware of all of our weaknesses. We all have them. Thank God for Paul being able to give us a testimony of his weaknesses and why he had at least the one. Now, there would have been others that he would have that brought on by his life and all the persecutions and all the sufferings and everything that he went through. The older Paul would have got going through these, the more weaknesses he would have had. How we view our weaknesses will determine if we will triumph over them or not. You want to triumph over your weaknesses? It's how you view it. You'll never triumph over your weaknesses if you start feeling sorry for yourself. The worst thing a person can do is start feeling sorry for themselves. That's exactly where Satan would have you to go with it. To look around and start blaming God and asking God, why? Why me and not that person? I don't deserve it. They deserve it more than I do. I mean, I'm serving you, I'm doing this, and they're not serving you, and they're doing this and that, whatever it might be. Looking around, feeling sorry for yourself and blaming God for the infirmities that you have. Listen to me. If you have infirmities today, if you have a thorn in the flesh, you have weaknesses, you have to view them in a right way. You have to see them as God sees them, and God sees them as opportunities. I love what Paul in his testimony says in verse 8. For this thing I besought the Lord thrice, that it might depart from me. Now, I love that because it means you don't need to desire to have a weakness. If you don't have to live with it, then don't live with it. If God will heal you of that weakness or strengthen that weakness, then praise the Lord. Pray that he strengthens it. Pray that he gets rid of it. Even the Apostle Paul said, when I've realized that I have this thorn in the flesh, Satan was using it, I thought it would be better off if I could get rid of it. And he went through, I believe, 3 seasons of prayer. And knowing the Apostle Paul, not only did he ask God, I believe Paul would have fasted as well. He would have done everything he could to see if God would be able to remove this thorn in the flesh, this infirmity, this weakness. There's nothing wrong. When you realize what your weaknesses are, is to go to the Lord and say, God, would you take it away? You might even make promises like, God, I'll serve you. I'll do more for you if you take it away. I'll give you more glory. I'll give you more praise. Just take it away. And Paul continued to pray and ask God to take it away until Paul got his answer that I'm not going to take it away. once you realize that God's not going to heal you of that, once you know that it is something that you will live with, then how you view it. How you view it. Verse 9 and 10. This must be our attitude toward whatever our weakness is. And he said unto me, let God give you peace. And God said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. You cannot have an infirmity where God's grace is not sufficient for you. You cannot have a weakness greater than the grace of God. No matter what it might be. If you look to God in the grace of God, His grace is sufficient and He can sustain you with any weakness, with any infirmity, with any thorn in the flesh. But you must look to Him. And you must accept it as an opportunity. My grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. An opportunity to have the strength of God. This is somewhat like an oxymoron here. This idea is my strength. My grace is sufficient for thee. My strength is made perfect in weaknesses. Wow. Most gladly, therefore. I'm not going to complain. I'm not going to cry about it. I'm not going to feel sorry for myself. I'm not going to blame God for doing this to me. You say, why me? And I would reply with that, why not you? If the Apostle Paul had this kind of infirmity, this kind of a thorn in the flesh, this kind of a weakness, why not you? Why not me? We don't get to choose. Most gladly will I rather glory in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Once I understand this is God's will for my life, this is something that is not going to change. There's not some kind of a miracle cure. Stop looking for a miracle cure. Accept it. Look to God. See what God will do through it. Amen. Therefore, I take pleasure. Now, you can't take pleasure in the pain. You can't take pleasure in all the negative side of this. You take pleasure in knowing what it is there to help you to do. I take pleasure in infirmities and reproaches and necessities and persecutions and distresses. Look right here. For Christ's sake. It's here to help me to be more Christ-like. It's here to help me to be able to carry on the cause of Christ and do whatever it is that God would have for me to do in this life. And it's only for this life. There are no weaknesses in heaven. Paul seen it. He understood it. That's what helped him, if you will. And we by faith know it's real. There are no infirmities in heaven. There are no weaknesses in heaven. Heaven holds a healing for everything. And everybody that goes there. No matter what your infirmity. No matter what your weakness. For when I am weak. In this life only, because there's no weaknesses in heaven. For when I am weak, then am I strong. See, I can rise above my weaknesses and know that it is what God will use to keep me looking to Him for strength. Many times, if I didn't have that weakness, I wouldn't spend the time that I need to spend with God. I spend more time with the Lord and doing the same things that I've done for 40 years than what I've ever spent before. I know that I need His help for my mind to be clear. I need His help to remember what I studied. I need His help to stay focused on what I need to stay focused on. More today than ever before. For when I am weak, then, once I acknowledge my weaknesses and my need, my greater need for God, then am I strong. Hebrews chapter 11, we're done here. That's powerful truth. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. The Bible says, by faith the harlot Rahab perished not with them that believed not when she had received the spies with peace. And what shall I more say? For the time would fail me to tell of Gideon and Barak and of Samson and of Jephthah and of David also and Samuel and other prophets who through faith subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quench the violence of fire, escape the edge of the sword. What does it say here? Out of weakness. None of them could have done any of those on their own. Every one of them have weaknesses that they realized they could not outside of God's strength. Out of weakness were made strong. Through our weaknesses, let us look to receive the strength and the help that's available to us to accomplish the cause of Christ. I love the song. He says, I am weak, but thou art strong. Jesus, lead me from all wrong. I'll be satisfied as long as I walk. Let me walk close to thee, just a closer walk with thee. Granted, Jesus is my plea. Daily walking close to thee, let it be, dear Lord, let it be. Walking close to the Lord, we can triumph over our weaknesses. Let's walk close. Even closer to God. If I could have every head bowed, every eye closed. You have them. Whether you want to acknowledge them or not, you have them. How you look to them. Your attitude toward them will determine whether you triumph over them or they triumph over you. God's grace is sufficient. Father, we bow before you. We love you. Thank you for the truth of your word. Thank you for this testimony of the Apostle Paul concerning his weaknesses. I pray that we likewise would be able to triumph over ours. Bless now in this invitation. In Jesus' name we pray.